Hello and welcome to the WCU Podcasts Podcast. I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier, coming to you live from beautiful Cullowhee, North Carolina.
And Patrick, you can actually say it's a beautiful day in Cullowhee because it's not like below freezing. It's actually a really nice, pleasant day to walk outside and be outside, unlike the vast majority of this new semester that we've started, where the pipes have been freezing and folks have been not wanting to get out and about. It's actually feeling like spring is around the corner.
We seem to vary, you know, one week we're freezing temperatures and we've got snow flurries, and the next week it's pouring rain and we're in the 50s and 60s. The weather can't make up its mind in Cullowhee these days.
No, there's an old saying about North Carolina: if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes and it'll change.
And we carry umbrellas has been so true this spring already.
Absolutely. But today is a very nice day out, and so it's a nice day to record a podcast and really get the podcasts up and rolling again.
Yeah, we pretty much took the year off last
yes.
year. Part of it was some transitions in the admissions office,
mm-hmm.
Employees coming and going, and travel schedules rearranging. And so we're going to take this as an opportunity to revamp the podcast and make the podcast kind of a new feel for the upcoming year.
Yeah, I'm excited that we are able to revamp the podcast a little bit, make it a bit more friendly for consumption, for you, the listener. We're going to be coming to you once a month now instead of on a weekly basis. That way our shows will be full of awesome information and stories, and we'll have really great feature segments as opposed to really kind of trying to figure out how to fill week to week. And of course, it's a lot easier for Patrick and I to actually be able to sit down together once a month than it is for us to sit down once a week.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of changes, we've had some changes just amongst the producers of the podcast, specifically your role within the Office of Admissions is transitioned.
Yes, yeah, I no longer work for the Office of Admissions. I am now the new director of orientation at Western Carolina University. I'm super excited about it. Definitely still getting my feet under me, and I'm learning a lot, but it's been a lot of fun, and I have really, really enjoyed this semester kind of starting that new role as director of orientation here at Western.
Yeah, so in the past, the podcasts were housed exclusively in undergraduate admissions and came from the Office of Undergraduate Admissions. The part of the transition is that now we'll be coming from student enrollment mm-hmm. for the university, you know, because both admissions and orientation play such a role in enrollment. But we also wanted to, you know, keep our connection with incoming students, current students, and alumni, and this is kind of a great combination of two offices to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives me an excuse to come back and hang out with the admissions staff when I can, because the recording studio is still over here, and Patrick thought he was getting rid of me completely, but I am like a bad virus. I'm just sticking around.
Well, you know, we keep trying to talk you into some spring travel and,
yeah.
You know, hitting the road.
According to my wife, I've already got enough spring travel planned, so.
We'll be hitting the road and trying to see new potential students that will be at
mm-hmm.
orientation and start working on that class of 2019 in addition to the class of 2018 this spring.
Yeah, well, it's like I was telling some of my friends back home, you know, once summer hit, I was kind of done with the folks who were coming in, and I was already focused on the next year. Now I just got to wait until July before or August before I move on to the next year, as opposed
now
to getting done in May.
Now you have to wait for us to do our job so that you can do your job.
That's right. Now I can blame admissions. I'm excited to be able to be like, oh, who let these kids in and not be me? So
yeah, and why are our numbers so high instead of, you know, oh, you know, you brought in an extra 150 this year.
Yeah, Josh must have been really bringing everybody down.
And, you know, speaking of kind of that transition period for students, so the university's going through a little bit of a transition itself, and that's kind of how we wanted to start the new year and take a moment to look back at the main kind of person behind that transition we're going through and look at the time of Chancellor David Belcher here at WCU as he transitions out of that role and we begin the search for the next chancellor for the university.
Yeah, Patrick, the big news on campus is this week is going to be the first meeting of the group that's going to be selecting the new chancellor for Western Carolina, so it is a big turning point kind of in the university's history. But over the last 7 years, Chancellor David Belcher has made such an impact and such a difference on this university campus. We thought we'd dedicate this opening kind of revamped episode of the podcast to him, and we would focus on his tenure at Western in all of the great things he's helped put Western on the map for and helped Western accomplish over the last 7 years of his leadership.
And, you know, one of the individuals that said it best is the University of North Carolina System President, Margaret Spellings, when she said that David Belcher is, and I quote, a fearless leader and steadfast in his commitment to WCU and the community it serves. His vision of a university that is deeply connected and aligned with the needs of its students and its region has transformed and improved WCU, end quote. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today is how he has had such an impact on WCU in his 7 years here and the impact it's going to have for many generations to come.
Yeah, I think that one thing that President Spelling mentioned that specifically I want to call out to is the installation of pride and the really kind of great fervor that he attacked this job with. And really, he was so proud to be Chancellor of Western Carolina University, and he wanted folks to know about all the great things that were happening at Western, and he's a reason that a lot of great things are currently happening here. And so really, if you look at his tenure, if you had to describe it in one word, I would actually use that word proud, because I think before he got here, we had students on campus who were wearing, you know, light blue, dark blue, the black and yellow, and colors of other universities and things like that. But I think once he got here, the pride that he took in this university was infectious, and everybody kind of got it, and everybody was a lot more proud to be associated with Western because of Chancellor Belcher and his pride in this university.
Well, and not only that, he became kind of a symbol for the students to get behind, and even became kind of a national symbol at times, thanks to the Southern Conference Tournament being on ESPN, when he's running around the Asheville Civic Center, you know, and the national commentators are pointing out the chancellor and how they'd love to go to a school for a chancellor that's running around and cheering for their team and showing so much support for the students and team. And I remember one of the years of the tournament when he's standing on the bar at the pregame pep rally trying to get the fans riled up and ready to go. How many chancellors are standing on a bar getting their team set and ready to go?
Not many. And I think that is another kind of a hallmark of Chancellor Belcher's time here at Western. He was unique. He's not like any of the chancellors that really came before him. He very much made the chancellor position feel approachable to students and staffs, where in the past you didn't necessarily feel like you could approach the chancellor. You kind of felt like they were kind of doing their own thing and had their own priorities and things like that. Chancellor Belcher, whether he was in the campus rec center, in courtyard dining hall, it really didn't matter where you saw him. He was always very, very approachable, and he always welcomed kind of interaction with students and faculty and staff and community members. And I think that's one of the things that I will be very sad to see go when Chancellor Belcher is no longer the chancellor here, or as he transitions out and we transition a new person in. I hope that the new chancellor will have that same kind of approachability and that same kind of passion for interacting, not just with faculty and staff and folks up in Raleigh and the General Assembly and folks like that, but also with the students as well.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't uncommon at sporting events for him to be right there in the front or middle of the student section. He and Susan, his wife, both were at numerous performances on campus, both musical and theatrical, and they would go to all kinds of other events for the students, too. It wasn't uncommon to see them on campus or to see them walking around downtown Silva or some of the local restaurants in town. So you always had an opportunity to connect with them, whether it was on campus or off campus, and students really approach that as a nice change, and it really kind of fits the millennial generation of being so approachable and connected and someone that they could view almost as a family member than chancellors in the past.
Yeah, I feel like my favorite story about Chancellor Belcher is I just started in the admissions office around 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know, it's one of those days, it's rainy, and all the tour guides happen to be sick. Giving air quotes here, Patrick knows what I'm talking about. But so I was giving the tour, which was great because I wanted to get out, and I loved giving tours and things like that. But I was in the rec center, and I was kind of talking about, you know, the climbing wall and the suspended track and the basketball courts, all the things we typically talk about in the CRC, and Chancellor Belcher is on the Stairmaster, sees that we're doing a tour, gets off, stops his workout, walks over to the wall where the rec center is, and takes time to introduce himself to every family on the tour, to answer any questions that they have, to say, go Cats, and that he knows you'll find a great home here. And that, to me, was just – that's the coolest interaction I've ever had with him, because it would have been very easy for him to just keep doing what he was doing to, or even to just wave or something like that. But he took the time out without me kind of asking him or without any kind of indication that it was needed or wanted. He reached out to talk to those students, and I think it really made an impact on those students on those tour. And that's just who he was.
Well, and not only that, he was a chancellor that gave back – monetarily as well. One of his last acts as the chancellor, he and his wife pledged $1.23 million in cash and estate gifts to WCU's Lead the Way campaign for scholarships for incoming students and future generations of students. And that's the kind of gift that you don't often hear a university chancellor making back to the institution that they are working at. And
yeah, I think it's especially peculiar because he didn't grow up here. He didn't work here as a faculty member and or go to school here or what have you. So the fact that he donated $1.2 million to Western students as he was on his way out of the chancellor role shows you the passion and dedication he had to this area and to the students here. And it shows you what kind of a man he is and what kind of a family that the Belcher family is, that he so loved this area and he so loved this place as he was the chancellor here, that he has set up scholarship funds that will impact folks long after he's transitioned out of the chancellor role here.
Yeah, and he did kind of grow up in the area. He is from South Carolina. He got his undergraduate degree in 1979 at Furman University. So a Southern Conference rival.
Right.
So he at least grew up in the purple attire, and we added the gold to his attire for him.
Right. Well, you know, after you've worked really hard, then you get rewarded with the gold, right?
And exactly.
So, you know, you start at Furman, and you do whatever you need to do there, and then the cherry on top of the career is the gold at Western.
And then he completed his master's in 1981 at the University of Michigan, and then completed his doctorate in 1989 at the University of Rochester Eastman School of Music in New York. So traveled around a bit educationally, but it has had a great impact in terms of the educational experience here for students at WCU with some of the initiatives that he helped be a part of on campus, especially the opening of several buildings or the announcement of future openings of several buildings. The one that most students know on campus is our Health and Human Science building. Mm-hmm. He was a part of that building's opening, and even though it was planned before he arrived, he was still instrumental in getting all the funding and making sure that that building was completed appropriately and ready for student use. And the next kind of big change that the campus will have educationally building-wise will be when we open the new Apodaca Science Building to replace the Natural Science Building and out onto Stillwell. And that'll be a big change, and it's something that he fought for many years.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that folks will remember most about Chancellor Belcher outside of his interactions with students, faculty, and staff is that he was quite the campaigner, Patrick. He stumped really hard for the education bill that passed several years ago. Essentially, the biggest part of the education bond when it passed was deemed to go to Western Carolina University to build the Apodaca Science Hall. And so that is one thing that I'll remember about Chancellor Belcher, is that he wasn't a super political guy in terms of what he represented on campus, or he wasn't somebody who spent all of his time in Raleigh kind of doing the political thing. But when there was something he was really passionate about, he really stumped hard for. And it was at convocations and graduations and at alumni meetings and things like that. He was very, very supportive of the educational bond and was a big reason, I think, that there was a lot of support for it in our region.
Yeah, Apodaca building will open in 2021. That's the expected open date for that facility. But he also helped to get funding to replace our steam plant on campus.
You used to tell a great story about the steam plant.
Oh, it was a wonderful story, and I wouldn't even attempt to try to retell it. It was just so, it's always so funny whenever he would tell the story of the steam plant.
Yeah, including sound effects.
And then, but he was also instrumental in some unexpected changes to campus. He was here when we had the fire in the downtown area of campus, and was instrumental in kind of coming up with the direction of what do we do next in downtown Cullowhee.
Yeah, Patrick, I was surprised when you look back at it, you know, obviously in the moment it feels like a long time from when the fire kind of burned down the downtown Cullowhee strip, and then raising Noble Hall and opening that last year. It doesn't seem like that would have come under the same chancellor, but really it was one of the first things that he had to deal with as a chancellor in his second or third year. He was able to figure out the planning for that, and now we have Noble Hall, which is a jewel of a facility. People really love to live there. People go shopping there. It has really made the center of campus and made kind of Cullowhee more than just the school. The fact that we have the Chili's and the Subway and the Black Rock Outfitters and all that stuff in there now is really neat. And he was that facility wouldn't exist without Chancellor Belcher.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize he was really instrumental in when he first set foot on campus was helping make sure that we completed our 2020 plan that he talked about almost religiously at the start of every school year and at board meetings. He would reference the 2020 plan in everything that was a part of the vision for WCU because he believed that was a plan that was going to guide WCU into the 2020 and beyond. And that was one of the things that he was working on kind of updating in his last year or two here as our chancellor, was kind of figuring out, okay, we're closing in on 2020. What is our plan for 2025 and 2030? Because it's a growing document, and he understood that. And changes such as the downtown center was one of those. There were plans in the future.
Right, yeah.
But
deep in the future.
A fire can accelerate those plans, and other things can accelerate those plans too, like reaching our retention goal 3 years early or 4 years early, and you know, hitting the 10,000 mark in students enrolled on campus. Things that were milestones that were part of the plan that people thought, okay, we can achieve them. Belcher's vision was not only can we achieve them, we will achieve them.
Yeah, and not just achieve, but maintain in terms of retention numbers and things like that. I think that one of the really neat things that Chancellor Belcher also oversaw, you mentioned kind of his first little bit here on campus. One of the first things he did, period, as a chancellor, was to hire a football coach. Coach Mark Spear was hired before we even hired an athletic director at that time. Chancellor Belcher was able to hire Coach Spear and then hire Randy Eaton, our athletic director. And so Coach Spear and his success as the football coach here, Patrick, has been pretty much unparalleled over the last 20 years or so in terms of his overall record and the achievements that he's been able to get the Catamounts to winning, you know, 7 and 8 games every single year except for the odd year here or there, has been pretty remarkable given where the football program was when Chancellor Belcher took over the chancellorship here.
Well, and, you know, we also continued strong in our other athletic teams as well under Chancellor Belcher's time here with an NCAA appearance for baseball and also numerous conference championship titles for men's and women's indoor and outdoor track and field. So we've seen a great deal of success on the athletic field, and we've also seen some new traditions as a part of athletics that were brought to us by Belcher, and I think those traditions are going to be the things that the students remember the most moving forward, especially because it's the one thing that the new students coming in will be able to participate in that connects right back to David Belcher.
Yeah, Patrick, if you had to choose one thing that you wish that you would have had a chance to experience or you would have had a connection with, for me, if you had asked me what was one thing I wish that Western had more of when me and you were students here in the early 2000s, I would have said I wish there would have been like traditions or some kind of community thing that really happened. There really wasn't that for us in our generation of students really before Chancellor Belcher. It was just you show up, you go to classes and things like that. But Chancellor Belcher understood that for students to really buy in and believe in this place like he did, that there needed to be some kind of overarching tradition. And now we have the freshman run, which is something that would have been, I would have loved as a student, in that that I think for a university to grow, like Western wants to grow and like Chancellor Belcher wanted to grow it, you have to have some of those traditions. Like you hear about traditions at other schools all the time, and Western just didn't have any. And now I think one of our crowning jewel traditions is that that freshman run that Chancellor Belcher established.
Yeah, and one of the neat things with the freshman run, even as his health wavered, and some individuals would ask him before the freshman run each time, do you want us to use a golf cart this time, or do you want to just stand by and watch? And he would say, no, I'm going to make the run. And he would do the freshman run each time. And then he always stopped right there at the halfway point and then high-fived the students as they came through, and was such a big part of that tradition and getting students excited about athletics and being a student at WCU and everything that it meant to him. You can almost see just kind of in his enthusiasm and joy as he made that sprint from the end zone to the 50-yard line, and the students continued across the field for the freshman run. You know, it's also when we brought in the class photo. Was around that same time and started doing a class photo for the incoming freshman class. You know, that I would love to have had a class photo.
Yeah, I would have loved to have had a class of 2008 photo. That would have been so cool to have. But that's nothing that, you know, was going on at Western. Again, these traditions are things that folks, you know, over the last decade have really been able to embrace and will continue to embrace, I hope, in the future. And hope the new chancellor will come in with that same kind of mindset of let's continue these traditions, let's continue to build student pride in our university and things like that.
Well, and, you know, one of the things, if we had tried to do a class photo whenever we were students, there might not have been enough.
We would have just had to do 04, 08.
Yeah, there might not have been enough students to do the entire 2007 and 2008. Because since he began as the chancellor in 2011, our overall student body size has increased by 15.5%.
That's not a small number. It's not like 15 people. 15% is a significant amount of the folks who are on campus at any given time.
Yeah, and, you know, that growth has not only been seen here in Cullowhee, but also in Asheville, as we transitioned to a new facility at Biltmore Park and then started to increase our graduate enrollment in the Asheville area and regionally there with online programs. But Biltmore Park is kind of our jewel in the Asheville area, and the vision that he's had in kind of shaping that and becoming a central part of the Biltmore area. With the WCU connection.
Yeah, one of the things that Chancellor Belcher was really passionate about and one of the things that he never lost sight of is that we were a regional comprehensive university, and the key word there being regional. And so Chancellor Belcher has always been extremely focused on making sure that we do not forget where we are or who we are, and he's maintained those regional partnerships, and he's really wanted to make sure that we reach out and we connect with our community here in Western North Carolina. And I think he did a really great job. That Biltmore Park campus is beautiful. It is a place that has really helped establish us as one of the premier destinations for non-traditional students or students who are full-time employees that take night classes, things like that. So that area is really kind of Chancellor Belcher's love letter to Western North Carolina in his way of saying, hey, we are not going to, as we continue to grow, we're not going to forget who we're here to serve, and that is the people and the community of Western North Carolina.
And he was also really instrumental in faculty and staff growth and improvement during his time. One of the things that started under his leadership was the Leadership Academy for faculty and staff on campus, and I was actually fortunate to be in the inaugural class of that academy. And at the time, Mike Corelli and then Laura Cruz were the two individuals kind of tasked with leading that academy, and we had meetings throughout the school year and did all kinds of different workshops and such. But one of the kind of the crown jewel pieces of that and kind of almost your graduation piece of that academy was you did a tour around the region, and it was a five-day tour, and it was areas that – were either going to have an impact on WCU or WCU was going to have an impact on these areas. So we were going to local school systems, to businesses in the area with different institutional leaders to, you know, kind of get an idea of what can we do to help you, what do you need from us to build that connection with the community. I will say I think the one memory of that, and for the most part, everybody on that tour really enjoyed all pieces of it. But the thing that I remember him enjoying the most was we went to Perry, the Pisgah Astronomical Research Facility, and he was like a kid in a candy store seeing all the different planets and constellations and doing some of the different things there that most people don't get to do, and it was one of the things that we got to do as a part of that leadership tour. And we wouldn't have done that if he hadn't had this vision of bringing some educational, professional development opportunities to campus for faculty and staff.
Yeah, especially coming out of the recession in previous years, there had been very little professional development available in just in terms of funding and opportunity and things like that. And so one of the things that Chancellor Belcher did was really reinstitute a lot of encouragement for professional development and making sure that we weren't just resting on our laurels, that we were trying to be the best professionals we could be. He also was instrumental, Patrick, in one of the things he talked about in his opening assemblies every year was maintaining a steady growth of pay for faculty and staff at Western Carolina to make sure we met kind of the state standards of what was going on other places. He wanted to make sure that we were not left behind here in Western North Carolina at WCU. He made sure that we were maintaining a certain percentage of what everybody else in the state was getting paid, and he was really passionate to make sure that we had great people and we needed to reward the great people that we had on our campus.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things that when you talk to individuals at other institutions, they would love to have those same kind of initiatives, and we were really fortunate to have someone that was looking out for all the individuals on campus, the faculty, the staff, and the students throughout his time here. You know, as we mentioned kind of early on in the broadcast, the retention rate above 80%. And, you know, when you talk about the 2020 plan, we reached that goal 5 years ahead of schedule. That doesn't happen by chance. And
no.
It takes a commitment to your faculty and your staff, and then likewise the faculty and the staff a commitment to the students. And that comes from the top down and the leadership of Chancellor Belcher that he was instilling in everybody on campus.
Yeah, I consider myself very lucky to have worked under Chancellor Belcher. I've had two very good bosses in Keith Corzine and Phil Colley in terms of folks who have led the units that I work for and things like that. And so Chancellor Belcher, I think, is just like those two people in terms of they really have student success in mind, and they really are focused on providing the absolute best student experience that they can. And so I feel like that when you come to Western, you feel like you're part of a family, and one of the reasons that is because Chancellor Belcher made you feel like you belonged here at WCU.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of things will kind of take shape as we look towards the future and the next chancellor as the search committee begins that process. But I think one of the lasting impacts is the students have an expectation now of what they want for a chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
And that expectation's pretty high. And it's all because of David Belcher and Susan Belcher and her involvement in the students. You know, I've been at numerous events at their house before, and their connection with the students and knowing where the students are from and what they're studying. You know, it wasn't just, oh, are you a student here or what are you studying? They knew the students on a first-name basis. They were Facebook friends with the students. They stayed connected with the students. You know, I mentioned one time that I had a tour guide that was working for me from Alaska, and Ms. Belcher instantly knew the student's name and which plays that they had been a part of in our theater program on campus. And that's a connection that really meant a lot to everybody on campus.
Yeah, the fact that they took the time to get to know you and they really advocated for students and faculty and staff here was really neat. Patrick, is there one thing I was thinking, you know, of the Chancellor Belcher era, you know, if there's one thing I was going to miss about Chancellor Belcher being here, that it is not as serious as all the stuff we've talked about, but I'm curious to know if there's one thing you're going to miss about the Belchers. For me, I loved that they were super active in the video holiday cards that Western always did and that he kind of really instituted about 5 or 6 years ago. In the first one, it was him playing a piano and Susan singing, among other things. But I really enjoyed the Belchers' activity in that kind of – it's a little thing, but that's one of the things I'm going to miss is seeing the Belchers in that holiday video card that Western always puts together and presents.
Well, I was actually fortunate for a couple of years to work with he and Susan both on some of those video cards and some of the things that we did for those cards, and they were such a joy to work with. as we were doing different things for the videos, because I had a role in some of them that I helped with, and they were always fun to work with. They were always willing to kind of take that creative idea that you had and see what they could make of it, and weren't afraid to be creative and silly or goofy or serious, whatever the moment called for.
Yeah, you could tell they were creative souls and musicians at heart, because they were always willing to kind of give something a try and put it out there and see how it went and really commit to it. So, like I said, that's a little thing I'll miss. Is there anything specifically that you think of when you think of the Belchers that you're like, you know what, this you know, wasn't a policy, it wasn't a thing like that, but is there something, this is what I'll miss about them?
I think the thing that I'll miss the most is I had a lot of opportunities at different sporting events mm-hmm. to interact with them. And it wasn't just an interaction of, oh, hey, how are you? Good to see you, and moving on. But I had opportunities to, you know, sit with them at basketball games and just talk. And, you know, yes, some of it would be about Western, but some of it would be, you know, oh, what are you doing outside of work? And what are you doing, doing anything exciting in the community, traveling anywhere? How was your trip overseas recently? Mm-hmm. David and Susan both loved to travel. They traveled all over the world, and they always had great stories of different places that they traveled and things they'd seen and done. And I always enjoyed hearing those different stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think one of the things that is really kind of important in their time here at WCU is not just how connected that they were to the community and the region and the students, but also just kind of how they helped bring the university together. When the announcement came out that he was having health issues, there was such an outpouring of love and support from the students, the alumni, the faculty, the staff. It was really kind of touching to see all the support that was there for them in the WCU community.
It just shows what kind of an impact Chancellor Belcher has had in his short time here. In just 7 years, he's changed the culture to the point where, you know, announcing some health issues. I think everybody on this campus was devastated to hear that news and was, you know, was willing to do whatever we could to help the Belchers get through a difficult period. And so I think that really is a testament to what his overall cumulative effect on that position has been.
I think one of the lasting images that most students have of Dr. Belcher is when he would be on the podium or at the podium at graduation.
Yes.
And the last name has been read, and he's waiting for that last student to sit down. And then he always had the two air horns ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Because you couldn't blow air horns during the ceremony.
But the chancellor could.
Yeah.
And he made it a point to say that was one of his favorite perks of being chancellor, was having that opportunity and being a part of the graduation ceremony for all the students. And I think that's going to be the one thing that a lot of students remember from their graduation is that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Chancellor Belcher always was a fantastic public speaker. He was not one who you would go to a graduation and he'd get up to speak and you'd be like, oh boy, all right, let's bear down for 15 or 20 minutes and just listen to him monotone speak. He always was very, very strong speaker at those, and he really spoke with a lot of passion and a lot of zest and a lot of just support for those students.
Yeah, and I think that you know, looking ahead to whoever may be selected as the next chancellor, they do have some big shoes to fill, without
yes.
a doubt, both from just a chancellor standpoint as well as a student perspective of what they want to see in that role and their vision for WCU. And I think that if nothing else, Dr. Belcher helped put us on the right path for that next chancellor to be successful, whomever we select in that role next.
Yeah, one of the things that a couple of people have asked me, friends, family, alumni that have heard about Chancellor Belcher or leaving the university, things like that, you know, what do I want in the next chancellor? I'd like for them to just continue what we've already started here. I would hope that they would see how quickly the ball is rolling and not stop it for the sake of stopping it, but really kind of build on the momentum that Chancellor Belcher created.
Yeah, and I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next several months.
Yeah, the Chancellor's Search Committee has a very, very difficult job. So I do not envy or I do not want to be in anybody that's on that committee's shoes. Everybody that's going to be there, I think, understands the gravity of the responsibility of choosing a new chancellor.
And I think, too, that, you know, even though there is a kind of that responsibility, it's all going forward with the blessing of Dr. Belcher
and
as kind of the direction he helped put in place with the 2020 plan and vision for the future, and especially his financial commitments to the students here at WCU, so that he'll be remembered long after his tenure here at WCU.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in my mind, at least, every chancellor here on out will be measured to what Chancellor Belcher meant to this university, and they're going to have a very hard time clearing that bar. So, Patrick, that'll about wrap us up on our Chancellor Belcher retrospective on his 7 years here at Western. We do want to, again, thank him for all his time and service and the passion and energy that he gave this campus, and we sure will miss him as he transitions out of the chancellor role here at WCU.
And we also want to extend a thank you to Susan as well.
Yes.
For all of her time and commitment and energy to the WCU community, both on campus and the surrounding area. She was just as much of a figure as he was throughout the years, and they will both be dearly missed by the students, faculty, staff, and community members.
Absolutely. So let's look forward to the rest of the semester here on the podcast. We mentioned it's going to be a slightly different format. We're going to be coming to you once a month.
Zach will be so happy that we're back now. I think he is our most followed listener.
Yes.
And, he's been begging for another episode.
Yeah, Zach Williams, the advisor over in academic advising, you're welcome. I'm glad that we could make your day. Bring the podcast back, our one regular listener.
Hey, at least we have one.
Hey, that's one more than other shows have. So, so we'll be bringing four additional episodes this semester, Patrick. And let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be looking forward to next month in February.
So in February, I think we're going to hit a topic that a lot of people have a lot of interest in. It's been in the news quite a bit lately, and we've referenced it and mentioned it several times. But we're going to dive a little deeper into what is called the North Carolina Promise, the tuition bill that has everybody interested in WCU, UNC Pembroke, and Elizabeth City. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of where we're heading next with NC Promise.
Yeah, there are a ton of questions that are coming into admissions and orientation about how NC Promise is going to affect not only your future as a future student or your current student, but also the future of the universities. What does it mean moving forward and things like that? So we're going to dive all into the deep details of NC Promise for our February episode. In March, we're bringing back an old favorite as we talk about some Catamount athletics.
Yeah, we're going to do a recap of the winter sports of our basketball teams and how well the winter athletics went, also indoor track and field, and then do a preview for our spring sports and see kind of what's on tap for Catamount athletics in the spring. And instead of doing a weekly update like we've done in the past, we'll just do one update per semester on what is Catamount athletics so that we can keep everyone in the loop on everything that's happening on the field, the court, and the track.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about baseball, softball, tennis, golf, track and field, football, National Signing Day coming up here in a couple of weeks. So that'll all be covered in our March athletics review, and that'll move us into April, Patrick.
April, we're actually going to be looking ahead to the summer as we talk about summer school and some of the different options that students have taking summer courses here at WCU, whether you are an incoming student doing the summer learning communities or the ASP program, or you're a current student wanting to continue and get some courses out of the way during the summer months. We'll highlight some of those different options as well as different things to do in the area that will make the summer even more enjoyable for you here in Cullowhee.
Yep, there's never a better time to be in the weed than during the summer, and so we're going to talk all about that. And then we'll close the year down as we do our final podcast of the year in May, as we take a look at what we're going to be doing graduation-wise, and also interviewing some new alums, or I guess future alums, as they'll be getting ready to walk across the stage, and learning about their journey at Western, what they plan to do after they graduate.
Yeah, I think I'm really looking forward to our May episode as we interview some different students and kind of get a retrospective on their time here at WCU and get an idea of where they're going to be heading next and where they're going to be hanging those WCU diplomas as they hit that next stage in their life.
Absolutely, and that'll wrap us up for the spring semester, and then we'll be joining you again in August with our monthly format. We'll do shows in August, September, October, November, and December, and then we'll go away again for the holidays before coming back with another spring slate. So we'll take a summer break, as that'll be my busiest time of the year, as Patrick will take a much-earned vacation in the summer. So we'll join you after that May episode. We'll join you as the school year starts again in August.
And if you have any ideas of what you'd like to see for future podcast episodes, feel free to send us an email or leave a message on the Facebook page so that we can get an idea of what you might want to hear as we look at future episodes of the podcast.
Yep, and don't you worry if anything super crazy or super breaking news takes place. You can find out about it not just on the podcast website and through the podcast podcast, but also through social media for admissions on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff as well. So make sure if any kind of breaking news happens and it's something that needs to be covered, you just rest assured we'll make sure we get a special podcast out for you as well.
And also be sure to follow all of our university social media accounts, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, we have it for the university.
I'll even throw out a plug for my new office. As you come to orientation, make sure you download the guidebook app. And make sure you, that way you can not only learn about your orientation counselors, the sessions going on during the day, you can actually find out how you can become an orientation counselor in the future. You can also find out how to complete our surveys and give us feedback on your orientation experience. So that's the guidebook app. You can download that for orientation, and you can also use it for student events throughout the year as well.
So a lot of ways to connect with WCU, and we appreciate you joining into the podcast as we provide you one of those many ways to connect to everything that is and always will be the WCU Catamounts.
Yep, so thanks again for joining in to all of our future students, current students, and alumni, and all those who are members of the Catamount family. For Patrick Frazier, this is Josh Thompson saying, Go Cats!